And I'm led to do this today. Let's read John 3:16. And let's read that together. If you're visiting with us, we read this scripture as led by the Lord. John 3:16. I'm going to read that together out loud. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now, yesterday, really didn't have a direction to go. Sometimes we think we know, but we really don't. And so you just have to wait. You know how it is? You know, so we're so itchy sometimes. We just need to wait on the Lord for his direction. And waiting sometimes is, you know how our flesh is. We want an answer now. You know how we are. We can just push a button. Boop, 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 boop. You know, I got my answer. And he said, "You just wait." Ugh. But I had a long day yesterday. Well, you got to wait. And wait on God for a sensing, a direction of which way to go. And so that's the way it is. So I didn't have much sleep, just waiting for a direction to go. And I believe today I'm going to continue in this series of lessons on the power of patience. And what he prompted me to share today is a message called "Don't Quit." Don't quit. And look at it in light of where we are, where we're going into this new year, and looking at it from the standpoint of patience, running your race. And you can go back and look at those messages. They're online. There's a few. And what I'd like you to do for today is turn over to Matthew chapter 10. We're going to start here today, just trusting that we'll get through this. Matthew 10, and look at verse 22. And I want you to look at the end of that verse. What does that say? "But he that endureth to the end shall be saved." See, now we're talking about patience. We're talking about perseverance. We're talking about enduring. And this says here, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." Some of the other translations, God's Word translation, says the person who patiently endures to the end shall be saved. This is the NIV. "He who stands firm to the end shall be saved." The Douay Rheims says, "He that shall persevere to the end, unto the end, shall be saved." And the Easy to Read Version Bible says, "The one who remains faithful to the end will be saved." That word "saved" is sozo. That means to be delivered. That means to be healed. Let me ask you a question. He who endures, he who perseveres to the end, will they be healed? Yes. How many have not persevered to the end and not received? They've gotten what? Weary, and they've let go. So it's key that we need to do what? Persevere to the end. And this says, then you will be saved. You'll be delivered. You'll receive, what is it? Through faith and patience, you do what? Inherit the promises. So there's a process. So we have to endure. We have to persevere. We have to do what? Remain faithful to God. Not true. We don't like to wait. None of us do. We want it what? Right now. We want the answer right now. We don't like enduring, but somehow God knows this flesh, and He has set this process up that we have to endure and wait. Let's go to Galatians. This is a very familiar scripture verse, Galatians 6 and verse 9. Galatians 6 and verse 9. You all know it. We read it just about every time we receive an offering. It says, and let us not be what? Weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Hallelujah. Due season usually is longer than when we like to wait, isn't it? Due season's like, when's that? Is that tomorrow? No, it could be. Due season is due season. And it's usually, like I say, longer than when we like to wait for. We just want it right away. Let me read this. This is the Amplified. It says, and let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time, and at the appointed season, we shall reap if we do not loosen or relax our courage and faint. Now, isn't it interesting? You know, we always see things, people who say, you know, that was a courageous act. That was courageous. This says here, if we don't loosen and relax our courage. Courage is doing something that you know is difficult or dangerous. So loosening your courage, remaining faithful, sticking to it, persevering. Something that you're persevering in the face of danger, fear, uncertainty, all of those things. But the key thing for me, and I'm going to get to it in a minute, this is the J.B. Phillips. Let us not grow tired of doing good. Now listen to this. For unless we throw in our hand, the ultimate harvest is assured. Unless we throw in our hand, the ultimate harvest, we shall reap. It's assured if we do what? Faint not. It's assured. That means we gotta stick with it. Say, don't quit.
Don't quit.
You don't quit. Tell your neighbor, don't quit.
Don't quit.
I'm going to stick to it. This is the Voice translation. May we never tire of doing what is good and right before our Lord, because in His season, we shall bring in a great harvest. If we can just persist, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Persist. Don't let go of your courage in the face of difficulty and trying times. Trying times, how many were here Friday? Some of you were. Friday, Pastor Judy started to release, God allowed her to start releasing prophetic words for 2014. Did she, now I may have missed it, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't she say in there that there were going to be some trying times in 2014? Did she not say that? So God is doing what? Alerting us. He's warning us. He's saying, there are going to be some trying times come. You just hold on. Don't relax your grip, and in due season, you're going to reap. It's assured to you. Otherwise, there would have been a qualifier in here. The qualifier is, if you don't faint, you'll reap. It's assured. This is the New Living Translation. So don't get tired of doing what is good. Don't get discouraged and give up, for we will reap a harvest of blessing at the appropriate time. We will reap if we faint not. We don't become weary in our mind and our thinking. You know, how many, and I'm going to get to a scripture, but I'll set this up. How many have ever run sports or played in any kind of physical activity? Anybody done that? Some of you have. I played sports, very active in sports. And how many, for certain sports, you when you played, you didn't want to be encumbered about with things? Certain sports, now we're not talking about football and some things where you had to really put on some things to protect yourself, but I'm talking about sports where you ran, where you had to leap, where you had to jump, where you had to do some kind of physical activity. You did not, I mean, it was difficult, wasn't it? If you had stuff hanging on you, I mean, it was like it dragged you. The least little bit could be what? A weight. And so what God is saying, and you can turn over there to Hebrews 12, 1. You can just look at that scripture. I'll read it as you're turning there. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So what I like about this talks about here, let us laying aside every weight. One of the translations, God's Word translation, it says, since we are surrounded by so many examples of faith, now listen to this, we must get rid of everything that slows us down. We need to get rid of everything that slows us down, especially sin that distracts us. We must run the race that lies ahead of us and never give up. This is the Good News Translation. It says, so then let us rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way. You know, I thought it was interesting. Yesterday, we were at Pastor Judy's empowerment session for women. Of course, the men were allowed to come. And some of the things that were raised, some of the things that were talked about, how many of the ladies and men were there yesterday? Some of you were. There were things that one could consider that got in the way, didn't it? There were things in our life that got in the way. And one of the things was procrastination, distractions, different things, people thought of you, you know, that becoming a hindrance or a weight, right? Not doing something because you're concerned about what other people think of you. So this is saying here, we need to get rid of every weight that slows us down. And it doesn't say, and the sin. So you got the weight and the sin that so easily besets us. So this is saying, in order to run this race right, we got to get rid of some things. Any kind of distraction. And it's like we were in worship. That's why I appreciate anointed worship. I heard the Holy Ghost very clear. He said, and I'm going to touch on this a little bit. Let's turn there. Let's shift here a second. Turn to Proverbs 14:26. Let's turn over there because I'm going to just share what the Lord said. Proverbs 14, and look at verse 26. Proverbs 14:26. And I meditated on this for a while. This is the King James Version, Proverbs 14:26. I'll read it from a few others. It says, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence." Now listen to this. "And his children shall have a place of refuge." This says here, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. That sounds like a faith word to me. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong trust. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong refuge. You look this word up in the Hebrew. It says it's the word confidence can be the word for trust, confidence, refuge, act of confiding. So in the fear of the Lord, there is a strong confiding in who? God. And this says here, "And his children shall have a place of refuge." Listen to this. The Good News Translation says, "Reverence for the Lord gives confidence and security." Reverence for the Lord gives confidence and security to a man and his family. This is the New Living. It says, "Those who fear the Lord are secure. He will be a place of refuge for their children." This is the Amplified. "In the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children shall always have a place of refuge." And so what God was showing me this morning, as I wasn't thinking about this, I was just worshiping like you all, just worshiping, lost in worship. And he said to me, "Those who reverence me have they have the full attention. Their attention, their full attention is on me." That's what he said to me. It came right up in my spirit. He said, "Those that worship me, reverence, their full attention is on me. Not their circumstances, not the weights, not the stuff in their lives. Their full attention is on me." And when it is, it's a place of strong confidence, strong trust, and security for a man and his family. So when we say, when Pastor Jesse is saying, worship, get on your knees, worship him, reverence, that's the call for solely looking at him, reverencing him. It's a place of security. Yes. See, we've taken this a little too lightly. See, we want security, But the security that comes from God is in reverence and worship to Him. Solely looking to Him. And all the other stuff. See, when there's worship and reverence to Him, what does it say? There's strong confidence. There's strong trust. There's strong refuge. In who? In Him. I tell you, I hope that just rings home to you. Because some of us are looking for security in a lot of things, and God is saying your security, your refuge, your confidence is in worship and reverence of Me. Solely. No distractions. See, and that was one of the things that kept coming up yesterday. I could do more, but the distractions, the procrastinations, thinking about what other people think about me. I could do this, but. And I said, you know what? Here's a key right here. When you reverence Him, you don't really care what people think. You trust Him. You love Him. And you're going to do what He says. Because you love Him. He has your full attention. And your full, your heart. Your heart. He has your heart. He has your heart. See? And this goes back to some of the things we've taught. What has your heart? What has your heart? Because what's in your heart is going to steer your life. It's going to direct the paths of your life. If it's God, He'll steer it and direct it. It's a place of security, safety, refuge. Does anybody bear witness to that? I'll tell you, it rings a note with me. I'm going to read this. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read it because it came up strong after I heard this. Anybody know this scripture? Psalm 91. I'm going to read it. You can turn if you want to read it. I'm going to read it out of the King James. It says, because He hath set His what? His love upon me. Therefore, will I do what? Deliver Him. Safety, refuge, security. But you got to set your love upon Him. Hallelujah. And it says here, I will set Him on high because He hath known My name. He shall call upon Me and I'll do what? I'll answer Him. Hallelujah. I will be with Him in trouble. I will deliver Him and do what? Honor Him. With long life will I satisfy Him and show Him My salvation. I got to tell you, that's a place of security. That's a place of refuge. That's a place of safety. Hallelujah. Ooh. I'll tell you. We've taken it a little, we got to, yeah, I fear the Lord. No. God is saying, that's what He spoke to me in my spirit. When you reverence Him, when you fear Him, He has your full attention. Why? Because you've set your love upon Him. You've set your heart to Him. And you don't care about the other stuff. God says, you're free. But I can't. But you're free. You're delivered. It's a place of safety. A place of refuge. Hallelujah. So anyways, it got me to thinking, because this says here, reverence for the Lord gives confidence and security to a man and his family. And I'll tell you the truth. When a man bows his knee in reverence to God, he is blessed and his whole family. Now, if they're single parents, this says here a man and his family, but I gotta tell you the truth. If a child reverences God, they will be blessed. If there's a single parent with children, they reverence God, they and their family will find a place of safe refuge and safety. God is not a respecter of people. But I can tell you surely and truly, the man is the head of the household, and God has ordained it that way. And when a man bows his knee to God and reverences him, and he has his heart, then it's a great, it says it's a strong place of confidence. A strong place of confidence and safety. Hallelujah. So I wanted to get that point across. I think it was significant. And so as we look at this place of safety that we're in, what God is saying through various things. You know, it's interesting to me. God will prompt it on the heart of the pastors or whoever's teaching to share certain things, to alert us, to warn us, to get us to make adjustments in our lives so that when things happen in this earth realm, we're not caught by surprise. He's telling us, wake up. Seek me, reverence me, and you'll be safe. You'll be secure. When everything else is falling apart, what does it say? What time will come when men's hearts will do what? Fail them. But we are not that people. God wants our heart to reverence him. And when we do, it is a place of safety, security, when everything is falling apart. We can smile and have the joy of the Lord. And people will begin to see and know this God that we serve, that he's a God that takes care of his children. That, worship him and reverence him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's turn to Hebrews 10:35. Just for a moment. Hebrews 10:35. Hebrews 10:35, familiar verse in 36, it says, cast not away therefore your confidence, your trust, which hath great recompense of reward. We just got done reading that. It's a place of safety. The fear of the Lord is a place of strong confidence. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, perseverance, persistence. I'll use another word, stick-to-itiveness. Same thing. It says, for you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. I had a thought. It says here, cast not away therefore your confidence. And we just got done reading Proverbs 14:26. It says, reverence for the Lord gives confidence and security. Or King James says, and the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. So let me ask this question. If somebody were to cast away their trust, their confidence, could it be that they're also setting aside their reverence? Could be. Because this says here, your reverence, your love for God is strong confidence. It gives strong confidence. Why? God, the one who you love, you know He's it. He's going to do this. So when I cast that aside, I've just put aside my reverence and love for Him. See? So it makes us, we need to watch our trust and just putting it aside. Do you really love God? Do you trust Him? Do you have respect and reverence? If He said, this is going to happen in your life. See, some of us, I'll say this, this is what it says in Galatians 6:9. We said, when we were reading that before, it says, don't be weary in well-doing, right? For in due season you shall reap. Don't grow weary or faint. Some of us, because we've all been there. Let me ask this question. When it says, let us not be weary in well-doing, why do you think that statement is made? Why do you think the Holy Ghost prompted Paul to write that? Because could it be that you may be tempted? I think so. When it says, let us not be weary, because if you weren't going to be tempted, why would they even put that in there? Why would the Holy Ghost even put that in there? Because it means that you could be tempted. To do what? Quit. Let go. Give up. Now some, we're to do what? Walk by faith and not by sight. We're to walk by trust and confidence in God and not what we see. But our love for God, this is a strong place of safety and confidence. So this is, don't be weary and don't cast away your confidence. Don't get weary. Some of us have, I've included myself in this and early on at a young age. You think you're in faith. You think you know what faith is. And so you think you know, and you start out in a faith process, and something doesn't happen, and you do what? You just quit. Because you say, this ain't working. This ain't happening. So I just put it aside, and I quit. But a lot of us have started out knowing the will of God, knowing and stepping over in faith and taking hold of something. And this journey It's taken a long time. It's taken a while. And we begin to say, I don't know, maybe it wasn't God's will. And we begin to do what? Relax. We begin to become weary and faint in our minds. But the scripture says, don't become faint in your mind. Let us not be weary. Because in due season, you're going to reap. It's assured. That's what the J.B. Phillips translation said. I like that. Unless we throw in our hand, the ultimate harvest is assured. So if you've taken hold of faith and you're getting weary and it's taking a little long, don't quit. Don't quit. If God spoke something to you, don't quit. If He promised something to you in the Word, don't quit. Hold tight. Hold tight. Persevere. Stick to it. Even when it looks tough. Because what does it say? We have so many examples of those who lived by faith that went before us. As it said, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Those that went before us who lived by faith. Hallelujah. What does it say in Matthew? We'll close with this. He that endureth to the end. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Actually, let's turn. I have one more scripture. Turn to Philippians. Let's look at this scripture in Philippians chapter 3. Familiar with this scripture. I'm so excited about the presence of God. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. There's trust and confidence. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. What? Forgetting the failures, forgetting the missteps, forgetting those things which are behind, and doing what? Reaching forth under those things which are set before, I press towards the mark. For the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is the thing, when God spoke this to me before and said, those that reverence me have my full attention. I have their full attention. Listen to this scripture in the New Living. It says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I am still not all I should be, but listen to this, but I am focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Forget 2013, all the things. Look, focus your attention to forward. Focus on the things that God has said. Focus on the things that He's spoken to this church, this ministry, to you personally. Forget the past. Focus your attention, your full energies on this one thing. Forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. Listen to this. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven. Hallelujah. He's looking for our full attention, our full focus first on Him, and not be distracted with the busyness. He wants our full attention, because in that place is a place of safety. Let me read. I stand corrected here. I'm just going to read these. You don't have to turn there for the sake of time. This is, listen to this. We're talking about the fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord. Maybe I'm going to pray about doing this, something on this, the fear of the Lord. Psalm 25:14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. The what? The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. I got to tell you, that sounds like security to me. That sounds like a place of refuge and safety to me. Psalm 33:18, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, reverence him, worship him. Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Hallelujah. So those who reverence and respect or fear the Lord, give him their full attention and trust with no distractions. Hallelujah. God is bringing us, I don't know if you see this, but God is pulling at our hearts to give him more of our time, more of our attention. He's looking for it. And there's a benefit. There's a benefit. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just wanted to get those thoughts across to you today. The Holy Ghost just stirred my heart in this area. And I'll tell you, there's some things that are coming that are going to require it. Going to require our full attention. Let me ask you, how many Army people in here? Marines, Special Ops, anybody here? When there was a call, did they get your full attention? Yeah, you better believe it. Because if you didn't, you found yourself somewhere else, didn't you? That's right. God is looking for our full attention. Time is short. And I believe this, that a people that will serve him and give him his full attention, he will withhold no good thing from them. And I'm going to say, I believe we are that people. I believe we are that people. We're a God that loves God. We're a God that serves him and will do what he says. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Now, sir, did you have anything you wanted to share?
Thank you, Pastor Ed. Yes, I do have something I want to share, because one of the things that I enjoy doing is, now that I can read again, is reading Amish books. Oh, yeah. After the stroke, my eyesight was affected to the point that I couldn't see how to read my Bible even. But while I was in Florida, this morning I finished the fifth book that I was reading, and three of them Amish histories about Amish people. I love reading about them because they're the only people that I know that try to stick as close to what they're committed to, as far as I know, as possible. And the story that I finished this morning was dealing with this man was getting beat up. He wasn't even married to this young lady, but she had been one who jumped the fence And she came back with this baby. It wasn't her baby in the sense that she gave birth to it. But she had, her friend died and had turned the baby over to her, and the mother and the father at the time didn't want anything to do with the baby. So he signed the necessary papers to prove her having it, but now all of a sudden he wanted to come back and claim the child. And this girl figured he'd never find her living among these Amish people. But he did, because he had the devil in him to show him certain things. And anyway, I found myself dreaming about, I was living somewhere that I left a small suitcase that was packed on my way somewhere. I left it out on the street, and when I came back, it was gone. And I found myself dealing with the relatives of whoever took my suitcase. You know, I was putting a curse on them and all. And when I woke up from the dream, the Lord said, "Do you realize what you've done? You hear the pastors preaching about walking in love, and that's how you identify with me. But when you curse anybody, you're not walking in my kind of love, because I sent my son for the world." And he says, "Now, what are you going to do about it?" And I thought, okay, Lord, I didn't want to take it back because I didn't like the fact that they had taken my belongings. But then I remembered that I trust in him with all of my heart, and I believe him for everything that I have. So if he let them take that suitcase, then that's what he wanted to allow at the time. But I think it was to see what my reaction was going to be, and I found myself, after I had put a curse on them, that these things should happen to the family, not so much to the person that stole it, but I was going to generations of their relatives. And I finally had to get back before the Lord and apologize and repent and let him know that I have no reason ever to put a curse on anybody that he created, because he sent his son for that person's salvation. And so I had to repent and then turn around and pray for the family's salvation. All of them, not just the person who stole the suitcase. Talking about something that will humble you, but listening to Pastor Ed with these messages, that's what you have to do. You have to really examine yourself to see how much you're allowing your flesh to get into your prayer life, and whether or not somebody does something to you, whether you're going to act like the rest of the world or whether you're going to act like the people that's similar to him. And I thought about all these. I said, now I know why he had me reading all these. I think I read 3 Amish books. And those people, I mean, if you hit them, they're not even going to hit you back. And so I said, "Lord, you have not." I'm always talking about I'm blessed to be a blessing. I said, I was not being a blessing to the family of whoever took my suitcase. And he wasn't letting me go. I had to repent and start looking for how I could have them blessed and trust that whatever was in that suitcase, whatever of value it had, that he was going to restore it to me if he wanted me to have it, because I also claim Romans 8:28 that he works all things together for my good because I love him and I'm called according to his purpose. And so I had to conclude that that suitcase was not, whatever was in it was evidently not meant to be a blessing in my life. But by the same token, it did not give me the right to curse anybody else because I got careless with where I put the suitcase. Like I said, he will humble you to find out just where your heart is.
That's right.
And I don't need to just be reading these books. I need to imitate these people as much as possible. I don't have to go and become Amish. But their principles and their standards are such that they're the closest ones to imitating Jesus and his covenant that I know about.
Amen.
And that's what we need to do as Christians, examine ourselves on a regular basis to make sure that we're not becoming so secure and confident in the fact that we are Christians and have eternal life. What does having eternal life really mean to us? And it certainly doesn't mean giving us a license to harm anybody else or wish anything on anybody else or pray for something to happen to someone else. It's supposed to make us strong enough that if something happens that's not pleasing to us, that we spend more time praying for that heathen, because we have to conclude that the person was a heathen who did something to us. And if we're going to act like they act, because while they didn't put a curse on us, they didn't bring out the love of God in us either. And that's in the, I think it's the 32nd verse, the scripture of Romans, it says, the 8th chapter, says that he poured out his love in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And what we pray for where others are concerned, when they have wronged us or something has happened that's negative where we're concerned, we have to find out, we have to examine ourselves and find out whether or not we're going to him and trusting that he's showing us. You didn't quite pass that test, kid.
What?
You was like, okay, they did this to me, so I'm going to do this to them. Well, we can't afford to do that. And that's something we have to train ourselves. That is not automatic. We go around professing to be Christians, and sometimes we have to be reminded that we're not letting our love show so that the world will know that we are his. And they won't be able to identify us because of what we do. We're doing the same thing that the world curses people who harm them or do something negative to them. And we have a long way to go.
Yeah.
And I've decided that in addition to reading the Bible, I'm going to start reading about people who went that extra mile when something happened, because if I'm going to imitate somebody, I want to imitate somebody that's pleasing in God's sight and not what the world is doing out here.
Amen. 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 Amen.
You know, as we close, I just have to say this. You know, one of the things that God looks for is your love for him, your reverence for him. And that is one of the things that I must say God sees in Pastor Sarah, is her love and reverence for God. Now, we're not all perfect. None of us are. Pastor Sarah is not perfect. None of us are. But somehow God overlooks all of these imperfections in our life, because we're it. We're the only ones he can use. But he sees a love for him. And that's the thing that I tell you, if there's a hallmark in each one of our lives, it ought to be our love for him. Because when it is, then that love for him will flow out of us to who? The people.
Yeah, yeah.
which is really what Pastor Sarah was saying. And I got to tell you, I just rejoice. I give God thanks. Because when I reflect on where Pastor Sarah has come from, now just from my perspective, we're close in that we interact. When we saw what transpired a few years ago in the natural, I'm talking about in the natural sense. In the natural, it didn't look good. And as they say, it didn't look pretty. And I began to say, okay, Lord, well, maybe this is Pastor Sarah's time to go home. I don't know. Don't know. You better ask those questions. Because you don't walk through life just saying, oh, well, okay, I'll just show up. You better ask, is it a person's time to go? And he said, no. The best days are yet to come. So it's a process. You understand what I'm saying? It's a process of where she's come from to where she is right now. And if anybody even got a sense, a brain, and when any intelligence and got eyes and ears, if you can't see and hear what has transpired over these last few years, even up to recent days, her speech is better. Her articulation is better. You don't even hear all of the effects. The brain is working better. And that's all I'm saying is that in these things like that, we need to just thank God. Because that's God's doing. And out of His love, our love for Him, we thank Him for what He's doing in her life. You understand my point? So, I mean, we need to just not... It's all part to me of reverencing God and thanking God, because when you honor her and just take the time out to listen and thank, you're thanking Him and honoring God for what He's doing in her life. You know, you think about this, the shoe could be on the other foot. The shoe could be on your foot. And so we all thank, I thank God. I do. I thank God. And look, when it's time to go home, you just say goodbye. My race is done. Good night. I'm going home. It's a better place. But until such time, if you're going to be productive, see, then God is restoring some things because her race isn't done yet. Anybody understand that? Yes. Hallelujah. I thank
Pastor
God.
Pastor Ed, I just want to allow Rose to share something that happened to me recently based on what you just shared, because most of the people in the congregation don't even have an idea that I've been to a neuropsychiatrist.
Okay.
Psychologist. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And most people don't even know what that is, or who, because they have so few around. But it was suggested by one of my therapists that I might want to visit with this man to have him run some tests on me, and he did. It was two sessions of 2 hours each.
Yeah.
And I went back the other day for the results of those two tests, because he gives you so many things. I give you 2 hours of work. I mean, we worked and talked for 2 hours twice, and his results were...
Yeah, and the whole idea of this was to see how the stroke has affected her brain in terms of, you know, memory and judgment and critical thinking skills, you know, those kinds of things. And so they gave her a range. They say within her age group, if you're 26 and above, in terms of 26 percentile rank and above, you're doing very well. And in all of those tests, mm-hmm. she came out doing in either in the average, above average, or even higher. Or even higher. There was certain that she ranked in the 90th percentile or 70th percentile. So, which is really good. And then he just gave recommendations as to, she's gonna now start doing more speech therapy, gave recommendations as to the areas to focus on. But overall, he was extremely impressed with her. Very impressed. Yeah.
Thank God. Hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah. Share this also. I was sharing recently with Pastor Sarah. Spent a few minutes with her. We're talking about something else. But I shared with her, I said, you know, the season that we're living in, some of that were visiting, you may not know that we had a devotional that went out quarterly called the Horizons Unlimited. And that was a process. You know, that was, when did they start that? 2002, I think, somewhere around there. So pretty much back then, we're talking over 12 years ago, we're talking the process then was pretty much print and paper. But in the last 10 years, it's gone like this. The processes, what people do, they use this. I do. If I want to read something, I want a quick look at something, I'm carrying this. I go out on the web, I look at something real quick, I'm looking at something, I'm reading an article. Somebody says, blah, 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 I'm going to a website real quick and looking. That's where we live. That's how we connect today. I've been reading stats on some things. They said 80 to 90% they get their information here. So we need to think about how we connect with people, how we interact with people. It ain't paper. There are other methods. I'm not saying paper isn't a way, but every major magazine is moving away from that. All the printers, the big consortiums, those that print books, they're getting away from it. It's too costly to do business. E-books. And I've been sharing with Pastor Sarah, been noticing how she's been progressing. And I said, Pastor Sarah, where we are with our website, I said, I've been noticing every month it's doing this. The accesses from China and Berlin are off the charts. Literally off the charts. And it's exponentially growing. The domestic is, but the international is exploding. And we had to change our contract because we ran out in 6 months. We had a year contract. We ran out in 6 months, had to renew the bandwidth, up it, and go up. And that's probably not going to last 6 months. We're going to have to go up again. But the voice, see, Pastor Sarah's in a different season. Pastor Greg and I are managing, overseeing, running the ministry. Pastor Sarah is in another place. God is beginning to use her in a different capacity. You understand my point? So she has a voice. God speaks to her. I told her, I said, you can stick words out on that website every day, once a week, however you want to do it. It don't have to go in print anymore. It's instant worldwide. Boom. Just like that. Didn't cost you a dime. We're in a different place. And you can affect thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. Anybody who watches, anybody who looks at stuff on YouTube, it go viral in 24 hours. It's gone around the world. That's what I'm talking about. That's where we are. We're in an exponential season. We're in a season where you can affect the world with what God is saying, what He's doing. And so I'm trusting God that He's going to speak to her about stepping over in that area. Because even the writing pieces, I mean, Pastor Sarah wasn't in the position, but we loaded on her iPad. We've got Voice It In, Dragon, Naturally Speaking. You got all of this stuff that's on there. All you got to do is voice it in. Boom, done. Clean it up a little bit, done. It's already transcribed for you. You don't have to, she used to have to process where she'd write it, somebody'd have to type it and transcribe it, clean it up, blah, blah, blah. So the efficiencies are different, not like it used to be. We can affect people quick. Say what the Lord is saying, quick. See? Yeah. Yeah. Now, Pastor Sarah's already, she called me last week and said, you know, God's been speaking to me about, you know, starting to share again in the pulpit. And I said, all right, good. Praise God. Good. All right. Good. So. So here's the point. Here's the point. Because there were days that were dark days for her. Days that she didn't want to go on. Days that she wanted to go home to be with the Lord. Am I telling the truth? She said, I'm out of here. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm tired. We all can get there because of the mountain you're walking up. And you're like, forget this. I'm tired. I don't need to do this anymore. I'm going home. And so that's what I'm saying. That God has now shifted some things and it's not her time yet. She's not doing what she's doing before in the office. Don't have to. Doesn't have to. God has raised us up to do that. She can be focused on some other things. Hear God. Say some things. It's a team of people that are working to affect the world. Isn't that true? We need one another. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I know we took a little extra time, but I believe in my spirit. I'm telling you the truth. In my spirit, we needed to flow there for today. doesn't mean we're going to do this all the time like this, but it, sometimes you need to just get it out of your spirit because God is pulling you in that direction. Need to say it.